Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our risen Lord and Savior, God the Father, who sent him into this world, and that precious Holy Spirit who uses that message of the risen Lord to keep us connected to his love. The Easter effect. By now you are used to that overarching theme that has guided us throughout our Easter season. And by now you have heard at least once or twice that the Easter effect guides us through this season because, after all, Easter is more than just a day. Easter is more important than to be limited to just a couple hours of one particular morning. In fact, if you read through the book of Acts, it doesn't take very long before that Easter effect begins to guide those early Christians, and they move their worship from Saturday, the Old Testament Sabbath, which pictured the rest to come, and they moved it to Sunday. The rest is here. That's the day our Lord rose. And every day became an opportunity for them to worship under that Easter effect. Because of Easter, you know that every promise that God has made has been kept. The fact that our Lord and our Savior is no longer in that grave assures you and me that if God says he's going to do something, he will do it. Because of Easter, you and I now know that unless our Lord and our Savior returns first, when we enter into our graves, these bodies will also rise to be with our Lord and to be with our Savior. Because of Easter, you and I are absolutely sure that every single sin has been paid for, all of the guilt has been removed, heaven's gates stand open. Because of Easter, you and I are absolutely convinced, and we have confidence as we stand before our Lord. Because of Easter, we willingly submit to that perfect will that we see played out in his life, his death, and his resurrection. Because of Easter, you and I know that we are not alone. That good shepherd continues to watch over us and guide us and protect us. Because of Easter, you and I are now willing servants, looking for opportunities to serve our Lord and our Savior just as he had first served us. That takes us to today. On the sixth Sunday of Easter, we continue and we wrap up this idea of that Easter effect with a somewhat related concept to what we talked about last week. As you and I rejoice this morning that because of Easter, we will produce those fruits of faith. We are introduced to another woman who guides us and serves as an example for us. So we once again turn our attention to Acts chapter 9. That is the lesson, our first lesson for this morning. And we rejoice that we get to produce those fruits of faith. And as we walk through these verses, you and I learn that always those fruits of faith are always produced by disciples. And disciples are always doing them. And always doing them for others. Last week, we traveled with Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, and we arrived at Philippi. And we made the comment then that we met Lydia, but didn't really know a lot about her. The woman we have before us today, we know even less about. Acts chapter 9, verse 36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. That's not much. We know her name, Tabitha. We also know what the Greek translation of that is, Dorcas. Both of those names are used interchangeably in these short couple of verses. Both mean gazelle. Because of the grace and the beauty of that animal, it was a regularly used name for women of that day. We also know where she lived, Joppa. Perhaps memory is being jogged a little bit. That's the same port city that Jonah ran to when he was trying to run away from God. Joppa was the major main port city for Jerusalem. Today it's a suburb of Tel Aviv. And that's it. We know her name. We know where she lived. Got a couple little things that we're going to learn yet. but there's really not that much that you and I know about her. But there is one more word that was in there. And if you're like me, sometimes when the words are early on in the sentence, your brain hasn't quite caught up yet, and you're not really paying attention, and it says, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was a disciple. And even if that's all we know about her, that's all we really need to know about her. Here is a woman who was loving her Lord and her Savior. Here is one who knew of her risen Lord. She was his disciple. If you and I are going to be talking about producing fruits of faith, we have to start there. We have to start with the reminder that it is disciples who produce those fruits of faith. And just as Tabitha was a disciple, so are you. You remember that a disciple is a learner. A disciple is one who soaks in the teachings of the one that he's learning from, and so follows that person, learns from that person, listens to that person, and probably begins to sort of talk like the teacher and act like the teacher and do things that that teacher would do. The disciple is the learner. The disciple is the follower. The disciple is not the one who offers suggestions. The disciple is not the one who tries to set policy. The disciple simply learns and follows. You and I are disciples. Who are we following? Who are we learning from? Well, on our own, by nature, when we first got started in this world, we were trying to play the role of disciple and learner all in one. Even if we weren't necessarily conscious of it, we were busy following our own way. And we were busy learning from our own heart's desires. We know that's the case because even though we are now a follower of Christ and we are a disciple of our risen Lord, we still got that sinful nature inside of us that still kind of likes to do what I like and is looking for ways to follow me and make me feel good. Perhaps it's just following that friend at school, or doing what I think is necessary to get ahead at work. But finally, the following, according to the sinful nature, sets Jesus aside and runs after what this heart desires. God, in His amazing grace, the Easter effect makes you a disciple of our Lord and a disciple of our Savior. And now, just like Tabitha, we get to produce those fruits of faith because that's what disciples do. Fruits of faith are always produced by disciples. Now we turn our attention back to our lesson and we learn this next little information about Tabitha. She was always doing good deeds and acts of charity. At that time she became sick and died. After they had washed her, they laid her in an upstairs room. Disciples are the ones that are always producing those fruits of faith, and disciples are always doing them. Now, granted, Tabitha wasn't perfect. We know that she wasn't perfectly producing those fruits of faith all the time, but she is held up as an example of what disciples do, striving to live for their Lord, always doing those things that fall in line with His will and His ways because we want to thank Him for all that He's done for us. We're told that Tabitha was full of those good works, full of those fruits of faith, constantly doing them, always seeking opportunities, always looking for ways to let that love for her Savior flow out and shine out. Full of those good works, full of those acts of charity. The word that he uses there has got the word mercy as part of it. Looking for the needs, meeting those needs, showing that mercy to those who are around her. And at that time, as she was full of those acts of mercy that she was always doing, she got sick and she died. We may wonder what the at that time is, but it seems to remind us that she was still relatively young. We don't know how old she was. Some speculate that perhaps she was a widow herself. But whatever her age was, she was still able to be full of those good works. She was still doing all those things. She was still always doing those things to give God the praise and the glory until it came to an end. When it seems rather suddenly, she fell sick and then died. Full of those good works. A pretty good characteristic of life. That might be something that we would like to have listed in our own obituary as well. That here is someone who was full of God's life, full of God's grace, full of the desire to want to always be doing those works of praise and thanks to our Lord and to our God. Always doing them. Always looking for a way. Always looking for opportunities. What a blessing that you and I have to bask in that Easter effect, to stand under that risen Lord and Savior and realize all of these opportunities and all of the chances that you and I have to praise Him with all of those fruits of faith. You've heard the definition of a good work. So far as we've taken a look at these couple of brief little statements and learned a little bit about Tabitha, fruits of faith, good works have been kind of used interchangeably. You remember that a good work is something that a believer does according to God's will and thanks to God. And so far, that's really what we've been talking about, right? As you and I rejoice in this Easter effect that we get to produce these fruits of faith, we're talking about believers, the disciple. We're talking about what gives God the glory. And so as we are always doing them, we're looking to Him and we're looking to His will and His ways to give us guidance and direction as to what kind of fruit of faith gives Him the praise and offers Him the glory. But now it becomes real. Yes, Dorcas is one who is a disciple. And good works, fruits of faith, are always done by disciples. And yes, she is described as being full of them, so disciples are always doing them. But this isn't just in some sort of a vacuum. This isn't something that you and I just do apart from anything else. When it comes to those fruits of faith, disciples are always doing them for others. Just before our lesson, we learned that Peter was in a town called Lydda, nearby. Now, once Tabitha has passed away, we read this. When Peter arrived, they led him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothing that Dorcas made while she was still with them. Now you get a hint as to what Tabitha was doing. As she was the disciple, full of those good works and acts of mercy, what she was good at was the needle and the thread. The widows of that day were really dependent upon others to protect them and to take care of them, especially if they didn't have any children of their own. And if there were no children to help support them, that job often fell to the church. Tabitha, Dorcas, was the gift of the church. She used her gifts and she used her talents to make sure that those who needed that help, who needed those kind of supplies, would have the clothing, both the inner and the outer garments that they would need for their comfort and for their protection. It's a very touching scene. Those hands that have been so busy with needle and thread all of that time, selflessly using that opportunity to do those fruits of faith for the benefit of others, now lay silent and motionless in death. The widows who benefited the most from her work were busy showing Peter all the things that she had done and how much she meant to them. So after Peter sent them all outside, he got down on his knees and prayed. Then he turned toward the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. After he called the saints and the widows, he presented her to them alive. Interesting choice of words. Literally, we read that Peter threw them out. And I'm assuming he wasn't acting like a bouncer, but perhaps he was ushering them out. It's the same word that was used when Jesus ushered mom, dad, and everybody else out of that room that Jairus' daughter was lying in. And there are some of those similarities. But Peter had to do something that Jesus never needed to do. As soon as that room is empty, Peter gets down on his knees and he prays. He's not the one with the power. He's not the one who could make the determination if he is going to bring Tabitha back to life or not. And so he prays. Throughout his Savior's ministry, he knew that Jesus had given life back to those who had died. Was that his will here? Throughout his ministry, Jesus also did not give life back to many who had died. Was that his will here? And so he prays. And having received God's will, however that answer came, he turns toward that body. Tabitha, get up. She opens her eyes. She sees Peter. She sits up. He helps her up. Peter presents her to the saints and the widows. Not that the widows aren't saints, but probably the ones that are the most beneficial and the most interested and perhaps even the most excited to see that their dear friend Dorcas is now alive and well. The Easter effect. That life that you and I get to live here and now. As you and I live in this world, there are all kinds of opportunities that are given to you and to me to produce those fruits of faith. Like we talked about last week, the fact that you are here is one of those fruits of faith. The fact that you are here is what builds that faith, strengthens that faith, takes you back to God's will and His ways, and brings you back to that love of your Lord and your Savior to listen to what the other two lessons had to say. And with that love of our Lord and our God poured into our hearts once again, now we go back out and we get to work. The Easter effect, because Jesus is alive, you and I get to produce those fruits of faith. And we do them for others. Look around. God has surrounded you with people. People that you know, people that perhaps you don't know. He has surrounded you with opportunities to let that light shine, to let that faith show. And as you offer those fruits of faith and as you look for what you can do to help those who are around you, it may be noticeable, it may not be so noticeable. Perhaps you will never realize how much it means to someone until much later, but that's really not why we're doing it. The believer, the disciple, is always doing these fruits of faith, always full of them, serving others, simply because we know that Jesus is alive. He's watching over us. We're doing it to give Him the glory, not to get recognition for ourselves. So whatever it is, taking that time to encourage a fellow parent outside the school doors who are struggling, taking the time to prepare a Sunday school lesson, taking the time to help clean up the church grounds, taking the time to feed and care for your children, taking the time to pray, taking the time to be in a Bible study or a committee meeting, taking the time to use whatever it is, the gift and the talent is that you have, and looking for a way to help others. Those are the fruits of faith. And as you're busy serving others, you're really serving your Savior. Those of you who have been walking through the large catechism on Sunday morning have heard Luther say a number of times that the way that you and I show our love for God is by showing love for those that God has placed around us. Jesus said the same thing. Whatever you do for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Even if it is just a small cup of cold water. And finally, it's that last sentence. This became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Finally, you and I are producing those fruits of faith as disciples, always doing them, full of them, for others, so that we have the opportunity to take them to the Savior who loved them perfectly and never missed an opportunity. The Savior who lived for them and died for them and allows them to bask in that very same Easter effect. And then they too can join us, knowing who Jesus is, growing in His grace, following their shepherd, and producing those fruits of faith, of thanks and praise to Him. Amen.